turn to the book of James, chapter 2. 5 minutes might be pushing. I'm as tired as you are. I've been up here with these youngins all afternoon. We had 9 today, so that's not quite twice as many as we had last time, but it's more. And we still had a few that didn't come today. Maybe next time we get them. So we'll keep working at it until we can get as many as we can. And you can see from the board, we had a crowd this morning. And I don't know where they went after church was over this morning. They're not here tonight. Maybe the Easter Bunny got them. I don't know. They like the little VeggieTales video about the fellow that made the chocolate Easter Bunny. He ate the bunny, and he ate so many of the bunnies that he got sick. So maybe they ate too much Easter candy or too many Easter eggs or something. I don't know. James chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 14 through 26. We'll try to at least keep it under a minute per verse. How about that? That is almost about 13 minutes. That's too long. This section, of course, is probably familiar to many of us as the section on faith and works, faith and deeds. Of course, in the religious world, faith is touted often. Oh, faith, faith, faith. Oh, our faith. Oh, it's great to have faith. If I faith, we are saved. Isn't faith wonderful? And faith is wonderful. But then they pretend that works don't exist. They pretend that we don't have to do anything. It's interesting, a friend of mine, who's also a preacher, went to a funeral where a woman of a particular denomination had died, and the woman preacher got up to tell about this woman's life. Oh, she was a wonderful woman. She had great faith. Oh, she was faithful. And so how then did this denominational preacher proceed to explain this woman's faith? She began to tell all of the things that this woman had done. You see, you can't separate faith from work. This, oh, she took care of the sick, and she was always in church, and she gave her money, and she did this, and she called me for it, she did this, and did that, did. But they continue to profess that it's faith that saves you, and not that works have nothing to do with it. And of course, there are some verses that take it by themselves, out of the context in which they're written, and out of the context of the rest of the Bible, could lead some people to believe that. When Paul says, by faith you are saved, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, why some people will say, well, see there, works don't have anything to do with it. But you know, Paul also said that every man will be judged according to his deeds done in the Bible. So we have to beware that we don't take things out of their context. He was talking to a group of people that thought they could be saved by the works of the law without faith in Christ. It can't work that way. Faith and the works have to be the works of Christ, not the works of the old law. But here, let's look at what James says. In verses 14 through 17, he asks the question, and fortunately answers it, what good are words without deeds? Or words with no deeds? No works. Notice what he says, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Can faith without works save somebody? That's the question James is asking. If a man says he has faith, but he doesn't show it by the way he lives his life, by the works that he does, can that faith save him? And then he gives an example, verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, so here you've got a brother or sister that's in need. In verse 16, then he explains the situation further. And what if you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things that are needful to the body, what does it profit? So if I'm hungry, and you come up to me and say, well, I hope you have a good dinner tonight, and I don't have any food, is that going to fill my stomach? If I'm told, as some of you were this evening, and we say, well, I hope you feel warmer. Is that going to help you feel any warmer? No, now we give you a lap blanket to put on and feel a little warmer then. But this is the point that James is making. Saying be warmed and be filled, it's not helpful. It doesn't help solve the problem. And that's the point he makes about the faith. Just saying these things, saying the words, having some sort of faith that doesn't do anything is just like going and telling somebody, I hope you have a warm bed to sleep in and plenty of food tonight, and then not providing it for them if they're in need and don't have it. Verse 17, then he says, even so faith, if it has not worked, is dead, being alone. Faith without works is dead. Now remember that, because that's an important point. We'll get to that in a minute again. Verses 18 and 19, he talks about the fact that faith causes action. True faith will cause action every time. Verse 18, he says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have work. Show me your faith without your work, and I will show you my faith by my work. How do we know what somebody really believes? We know by the way they act. We know by what they do. If we holler out, the building's on fire, and somebody says, I believe that with all my heart, and then keeps sitting in the pew, we know good and well they don't believe a word of it. If the building's on fire, even if the preacher's still preaching, I'm going to, you know, get up and go. Let the preacher burn down with the building. Go! Don't be foolish. And we can see, if the building's on fire, we know the people that believe it, because they would get up and go. When a hurricane's coming, the people that believe it, they go someplace safer. They don't stay right there. They go! Now sometimes that hurricane may fizzle out and turn into nothing. And sometimes because of that, people eventually get to the point where they say, ah, didn't happen last time, I'm going to stay here. And some people died as a result of that kind of an attitude. Because they thought, well, nothing happened last time, so I'm safe. Well, that's a dangerous thing. When we believe something, though, we're going to act on that belief. We know there's a hurricane coming. If we know there's a storm coming. If we know there's a tornado coming. We're going to get out of the way. We're going to go somewhere where we can be safe. Verse 19, he emphasizes how important actually doing something really is to true faith. Notice verse 19. You believe that there is one God. You do well. So that's good. That's a good start. You believe there's a God. But then he goes on to say, big deal. The devils also believe and tremble. So what, you believe there's one God? The devil believes that. And more than just believing it, he's scared. And all of his demons, they're scared. They're trembling. And you get a lot of people that say they believe there's a God, and they're not the slightest bit afraid. They're living like the devil, but they're not scared like he is. They ought to be. They ought to be more scared than he is. His doom is already set. He's already gone. But they still have a chance. They could turn their life around and change that. But instead, they keep on living the same way. You really believe there's a God? You better act like it. Better act like there's a God then. Then we see verses 20 to 24. The example of Abraham's faith. Abraham is touted as, he's the first one ever. Look at Abraham. Abraham was justified by faith. Okay. James says, let's look at that then. Verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, faith without works is dead. That's twice. We'll get back to that again in a minute. Verse number 21 then. He says, basically saying, you want proof that faith without works is dead? Here's our proof. Let's look at your key example. Abraham, justified by faith, right? Well, right and wrong. Yes, he was justified by faith, but he was justified by the action that his faith produced. Notice what he says in verse 21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works he justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? When he was prepared to sacrifice his own son for God? That's where his faith showed itself. In the book of Hebrews it says that Abraham believed that God could raise Isaac up from the dead. That if he laid him on that altar and burned it up, that God could bring him back to life from the dead. That's faith. But because he had that faith, he was willing to do it. He was willing to put Isaac up there on the altar and would have killed him if God had not sent his angel to stop him. His angel stopped him before he could complete the act. But Abraham was justified by works. Verse 22, he says, then seest thou how faith wrought with his work? And by works was faith made perfect or complete. The work is what makes the faith a complete faith. It makes it whole. It makes it perfect. It makes it real. Real faith. Real faith has to work hand in hand with the deed, with the work. Then verse 23, notice what it says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now notice what it says, Abraham believed God. How do we know Abraham believed God? We know Abraham believed God because when God told him, go offer your son Isaac on the altar, he got his son and he went to go do it. He didn't make up, now wait a minute, God. You said, wait a minute. You've never commanded anybody else to do that. Wait a minute, God. You go, now wait a minute. This is my only son. Now wait a minute, God. You promised that I was going to have a whole nation from this son. Well, wait a minute, God. He didn't start making excuses. He just told his servant, get it ready. Tomorrow morning, we get up. We're going. And he took Isaac. He said, let's go. We're going to go worship. We're going to go sacrifice to God. The work that he did, his obedience to God's command, fulfilled the scripture. It wasn't just because he said, well, I believe in God. That wasn't what fulfilled the scripture. It was his words that showed that he did believe in God. It's what he did. Now notice, it was imputed unto him as righteousness or for righteousness. We need to understand, there's nothing righteous in sacrificing your son on an altar. In fact, many times throughout Scripture, God condemns that act. So it wasn't as though Abraham had come up with some righteous act to do to justify himself. No. It was not a righteous act that he was doing. It was the fact that he was obeying God's command, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Whatever God tells us to do, we do it. And then, we can say, we believed God. Then verse 24, if there's ever a verse that makes it any clearer, I don't know where it is. This is the only verse in the entire Bible that uses the phrase, faith only. Now that's the denominational song. We are saved by faith only. This is the only place in the Bible that these two words are put together in that order. Faith only. And notice what James says. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. The only place in the Bible where it says faith only, and the Bible says not that way, and what does the denominational world do? That's the way! God says, don't go that way! That's not the way! And the whole religious world says, oh, let's go this way! James says, not by faith only. By works. Now what works? We just make up our own works? No. Can we go back to the Mosaic of law and follow those works? No. We have to follow the works that God has set for us in the New Testament. We have to be obedient to His commands in the New Testament, obedient to Christ. We are not justified by faith only. James settled that 2,000 years ago. Why are people still arguing about it? Why are people still proclaiming that that's what the Bible teaches when James couldn't have been any clearer if he wanted to? You know, it's so bad that Martin Luther, who began the Lutheran Church, he wanted to throw the book of James out of the Bible. He didn't want it in there. Well, why do you think he didn't want it in there? Because of this section of Scripture. Because 25 and 26. As if that example of Abraham wasn't good enough, James has another example for it. What about Rahab? The example of Rahab's faith. Verse 25. Likewise, I mean, in the same way as Abraham, likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by work? How was she justified by work? When she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way, that's how. Did she turn them in and say, well, I believe you, God, but I'm going to turn them in because I don't want to get in trouble? No, she received them, she hid them, and then she sent them out another way to protect them. And they made the deal with her. If you will hang this scarlet rope from your window, when we come, anybody that's in the house for this scarlet rope is hanging, we won't kill them. Anybody goes out of that house, they're dead meat. And anybody that's in that house won't die. That house, right on the wall, that one won't fall. There'll still be, everybody inside there will be saved. Your house. Now let's ask the question. She had faith, right? What would have happened if she hadn't put that ribbon or that rope in the window? Would her faith have saved her if she didn't obey the agreement that was made? Her house would have fallen right along with the rest of them. What if she'd have put the rope in the window, but then she'd have gone over to her neighbor's house thinking, well, I got my rope in my window, so I'm okay, I can go away. No, they said you got to stay in the house. Faith and action working together. Let's look at verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead. We understand that, don't we? That's when death occurs. Now, we know, you know, somebody's heart can stop beating, they can be resuscitated. Somebody can stop breathing, they can be resuscitated. There are also, there have been cases of, you know, somebody who had severe brain damage, they thought they were going to, but then they lived. Anyway, it can happen. But we know that the Bible says that death occurs when the spirit and the body are separated. When the spirit leaves the body, that's when death occurs. Now, we don't have the scientific instruments to measure when that occurs. That's why it's so difficult for us to determine when death has occurred. We can get a pretty rough estimate. We know pretty much about when it happens. But we can't be precise. But God knows. And He says, as the body without the spirit is dead. We know that. When the spirit leaves, it's just a body. It's dead. But then He says, works are the spirit of faith. We think about faith as the body, works are the spirit. And if the faith doesn't have the works, it's dead. Notice what He says. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith, the body, without works, there's the spirit, is dead also. So for the third time in 13 verses, James says, faith without works is dead. We need to make this understanding clear. If we are going to say that we believe, then we had better be acting like we believe. It's not really believing. It's not really a living, active faith. It's not really faith at all if there are no actions. If you're here tonight and you have an Easter Epiphany invitation, for whatever reason, we ask you to do so as we stand in it.